Good morning. Turn in your Bible with me to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 9 to 14 in this message I've entitled, When God Changes a Life. This is a message in my new series, The New Life, When God Changes a Life. Bullfrogs and butterflies begin life very differently. One as a tadpole swimming around with that one tail, that one fin. The other as caterpillars just kind of crawling along. And then they're transformed, gaining strong jumping legs and flying wings, respectively. They become new creatures. And when God changes a human life, when someone is born again spiritually, that person is a new creature. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Apostle Paul said, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 14 is our text today. But first, let's look at the last part of that passage, beginning at verse 12. "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." What this is talking about here is not just acquiring fire insurance policies against hell in salvation from our sins and its penalty. No, we are different. Just as God transforms tadpoles into bullfrogs and caterpillars into butterflies, He made us different as Christians. And in our text, the Apostle Paul highlights three things about our new spiritual life in Christ. First of all, God watches over you with intercessory prayer. Verse 9, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Since the day we heard of it. Heard what? Well, you got to back up first to verses 4 and through 8 of that same passage. "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit." God uses Christians to intercede for other Christians. Can be as a result of requests. Someone asks for prayer for one reason or another, and other Christians will pray for them, will bring them before the throne of grace. It could also be by a spiritual urging. You know those times when a person just comes to mind. You're just going about your business, the routine of the day, and you think of somebody. Well, I've always learned that those moments when someone is placed on my heart, when someone is placed in my mind, that I need to pray for that person. I don't know necessarily what's going on in their life. I may not know anything about what's going on at that moment. But for some reason, an impression was placed on my heart, and I thought about that person. And I take that to be a signal for me to intercede, for me to bring that person before the throne of grace. Oftentimes when I've done that, when if I call that person up after or later or at some other time, or when next time I run into that person and I tell them that I was thinking about you, I prayed for you, and often that person will tell me that something was going on in their life right at that moment, and they needed God's grace. They needed His strength at that moment. And God used that prayer. God used it for that moment. And that person is encouraged, strengthened in their faith, in their trust, knowing that God is taking care of things, that God has them. And then there's other times when you just have an awareness of need. You learn somehow that somebody's in a place of need. One of the brothers or sisters in Christ. Someone you know, someone in the church, someone that you just become aware of. And you intercede for that. God uses Christians to intercede for other Christians. New believers, all new believers need to be prayed for immediately and continually. Why? Because they need to grow. They need to learn who God is and understand His ways and the way that He thinks. Continually pray. Well, what is Paul talking about here? Pray for what? Pray how? It says that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You must know God's will to do it, and you must know how to do it. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." What is the fear of the Lord? What is the knowledge of the Holy One? Well, the fear of the Lord, I've learned over the years that the fear of the Lord really comes down to an awareness on my part that God is paying attention to everything I say, everything that I do. And it's true in each one of our lives. And as we have that awareness, we begin to take care of the things that we say, the things that we do, the attitudes that we have, the motives that we live with, the thoughts that we allow to run around in our head and develop into words and actions. The knowledge of the Holy One, well, gaining a knowledge of who God is and His ways, so that we might be able to relate to Him and minister with Him and for Him, that we might gain wisdom by fearing Him in learning who He is, developing a relationship with Him, that we might understand His will. See, if you're going to do a trade, like a carpenter, you must learn the tools of the trade, and you need to know how to use them on the job. You have to learn what each tool is for, what its purpose is as a carpenter, and how you employ them, how you use them on the job site. As you learn to fear God and you understand His character and His ways by His Word, you will more clearly discern His will. Though God watches over you with intercessory prayer in this new life that He's transformed you into, that He's recreated you in from this flesh life, this physical life, into this new spiritual life that we have. Second, God guides you with a new standard. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Walk worthy of the Lord. You know, when a person joins the military, it's new dress, it's new friends, it's new recreation, it's new patterns and routines in your life. When I worked for the computer company, when I first was hired into the computer company those many, many, many years ago, I was hired as a dock worker, shipping and receiving, and I drove a delivery van. Then I was moved into the stockroom, and then eventually order processing. And then one day, a couple of years into it, I was offered the promotion to become first a group leader and then a supervisor, where I was responsible for the whole area, for the stockroom, the order processing, the shipping and receiving, and the delivery of things. And with that came the responsibility to conduct myself differently. I had to wear a coat and tie. Back in those days, yeah, that was still the dress. And let me tell you, the first day that I came into work with all those other people who I had worked with up to that point, who I had worked alongside, and now I'm their supervisor, and I come walking in a coat and tie, instead of being dressed the way I always were dressed. Boy, let me tell you, the next weeks and even months was a lot of grief. Laughing, making fun of, because even though I was their supervisor, I still work with them, so they were able to pick on me a little bit. But then eventually, everybody got used to it. I got used to the new routine, and those who I now supervise, they got used to it as well. Many companies prefer to promote from within rather than hire from outside for lower and middle management. Why is that? Well, those promoted are already trained and experienced in the ways and the standards of the company. New hires bring previous experience which could be incompatible. In fact, they were often referred to as, I recall, bad habits. that you bring in managers at lower levels, they bring in bad habits. At higher levels, they can bring in new ideas, new concepts that can be good for the company. At lower levels, they can bring in what we call bad habits that just aren't compatible with the what the company's doing. And so they want you to learn, and they want you to function according to the company's standards. And listen, you cannot live the Christ life according to the world's ways. It's a completely new lifestyle. So, what does it mean to walk worthy of the Lord? Well, this verse makes it clear. Fully pleasing Him. That talks about our holiness, our separateness, becoming more and more in line with His Word as we learn what that means. Fully pleasing Him. Being fruitful in every work, or in every good work. Well, that's service. Serving the Lord. Doing the tasks that we're called to and assigned to. It's increasing in the knowledge of God. That's growth. That's spiritual growth. We need to know the Lord more today than we did yesterday, and more tomorrow than we do today. We need to develop this relationship. You see, you begin to grow immediately after you're born physically. You have this little baby, and the next thing you know, this little baby's crawling, and then walking, and then growing taller, and then talking, and then never shutting up. Well, new spiritual life also produces growth. Growth in righteousness, fully pleasing Him. Growth in ministry, being fruitful in every good work. Growing in wisdom, increasing in the knowledge of God. God guides you with a new standard. And then third, God provides you with spiritual resources. Verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power. Why? Well, it says, patience and long-suffering with joy. Don't quickly pass over those words. Listen, spiritual life requires spiritual strength. Difficult times come in life. Suffering comes in life. There's a need for patience. There's a need for long-suffering. And the implication there is that as Christians, we need patience in situations and long-suffering, and the context is joy. That we don't go through problems in life whining and complaining like much of the world does, cursing out people, cursing out God. No, we endure them with patience. We endure them with long suffering and with joy. With joy. And we need that power, that strength. It says, with all might according to His glorious power. Well, that's grace. I believe grace is best defined in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do, according to His good pleasure. Strength furnished by grace for good works. Strength fortified to withstand Satan. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. What's the bottom line? Well, the bottom line is, we cannot live the Christian life. And you know what? We're not expected to live it either. Jesus does. Jesus lives the Christian life. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave His self for me. Jesus lives through us by the Holy Spirit's indwelling and God's measure of grace. Go to a verse of Scripture which will just blow your mind. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Let's just read it, and then let's look at it just a little deeper for a moment in this context of the power, the resource, spiritually, that we need to live this life, to serve the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and listen, what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Listen, we can read these verses and we can just keep on going. Treat them like a speed bump. Oh yeah, that's cool. No, listen, slow down. The exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power. So that means that there's power working in our lives. Well, what power? What kind of power? Well, it tells us in verse 20. Which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. The same power that operated that morning in that tomb when Jesus was dead, having been crucified. The same power that worked in Him to bring life back to a lifeless corpse works within us for God's purposes. Now, if that doesn't blow your mind, or as an old pastor of mine used to say, if that doesn't light your fire, then your wood's wet. God empowers us to get things done in ministry. Let me tell you something. I'll tell you a story. Some of you know that I used to drive an old blue PT Cruiser. I was still driving it when I first came to the church here in Canton. And the man who, it wasn't my car, the man who let me use his car, and he let me use it for a long, long time, even to the point that it broke down and needed to be repaired on several occasions. Well, one time that it broke down and needed to be repaired, it went into the shop and it was going to be there for probably about a week, I think it was. And so, had the car towed and everything. And now, at the time, I was driving a couple of my children back and forth to work. So, I needed, you know, either to have another vehicle or I needed to find some other way to get them back and forth to work. And I was thinking, you know, man, it would be cool to rent a car for the week. You know, while car is being repaired. People do that all the time. I don't have the money for that. I don't have the resource for that. Well, the very next day after the car went into the shop, as I was considering how we're going to handle these things, I didn't talk to anybody about this need. I didn't even pray about it. I just thought about, I need to do something. I need to have something. Or not, or I have to figure out some other way to do it. But I was content to wait for the car to be repaired, but just needed to take care of this problem. Well, the next morning, I had the impression to check my bank account. And when I looked at my bank account, there was money there. Money had been deposited into my account. I don't know how it got there. There was no reference that said where it came from. And then later in the day, I got a phone call from the guy who owned the car. And he said to me, "Well, I figured since you're not going to have the car for the week, you need some transportation. So I've sent you some money so you can rent a car for the week." And there was sufficient money. Let me tell you something. That's a picture of grace. I had a need. I wasn't even necessarily praying about that need. I knew I had it, and I was trying to think of some way to the possible ways to do it. And into my account came the money and the message, what the money was for. That's a picture of grace. I was empowered to get a vehicle. God empowers us. Grace empowers us to get things done in ministry. So in this case right here, what does grace do for us? It says to be strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long suffering and joy. We have struggles. We have problems. Well, James, in his letter, in chapter 1, verse 4, he says, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So, we need to let God work His grace, His power in us. We need to respond and be obedient. We need to trust Him. And we need to develop patience. We need to develop long-suffering. And we need to do that with joy. With joy. How do you know when patience is developed anyway? People pray all the time, "Oh, Lord, give me patience." Well, you know patience is developed when you learn to receive trouble. Hear me. When you know patience is developed when you learn to receive trouble as gifts from God. When you're thankful for those troubles. When you can bear them well, no matter how many or how aggravating or however long. James chapter 1, just before that verse that we read, in verses 2 and 3, James speaks to it very specifically. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." And then verse 4 again. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You see, God knows we cannot do this except by His strength. He knows that. He knows it before we even consider and pray about it. He knows that need. He knew the need that I had for a vehicle before I even started thinking about it, and He had that person send that money in order to take care of that. God knows. He knows we can't do it. He knows we need His strength. Intercessory prayer to watch over us. A new standard to live by. A spiritual strength to endure suffering. These are our jumping legs and flying wings. Bullfrogs receive jumping legs to jump, and butterflies receive wings to fly with, and they're expected to use them. And He supplies us as well. Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Listen, ask for prayer that you will grow spiritually. Apply the things you learn from God's Word. Accept the grace to be patient in suffering. Would you make that commitment today? Would you do that right where you are? Would you make that commitment? Would you do business with God just between you and Him? For His ministry, for His glory, in and through your life. Would you pray with me? Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that You provide everything that we need. That You, by grace, You give us all that we need to live this new life. And Father, I just pray that each one, whoever is listening to or watching this message, would see the need to grow spiritually and desire that others would support them in prayer. That they would learn this new life, this new standard for life in order to serve the Lord and to receive the grace to be empowered to do the work, to endure the difficulties and troubles of it with joy. Father, we just thank You and praise You. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you, and you have a great day.